Good morning, brethren. It is truly an honor to be here this morning. And I want to confess something. This is actually going to be my second time preaching in English. I usually preach in Spanish. A month ago, I did it at Amarillo, Texas, and they told me I did it good, so I'm here again. So that's how they told me the truth. So this morning, I want to talk about the second coming of Christ. And I want to not only talk about that he will come, but also what it implies. What does it mean for Jesus Christ to come? What else is going to happen that day? And also, ask the question, are we ready? You know, I live in Terrell, Texas, and when I drive to school, I have to drive about an hour and a half to get to school in the morning and an hour and a half to go back, so I have enough time to think about different stuff. And when I was on my way to school, I see this billboard, and the billboard says, Jesus is coming. And on the bottom, it says the question, it has the question, are you ready? And this is the same question I want to ask you this morning. Are you ready for Jesus Christ to come? Are we really ready for him to come? Have we asked ourselves this question many times? The reason why is because it doesn't only imply that Jesus Christ will come that day, but it implies many things. For once, it implies that it will be the end of this world. It will be the end of this world as we know it. Everything that is around us, it's not going to be there anymore. How do we know that? How do we know that this world's not going to be here anymore? 2 Peter chapter 10, chapter 3, verse 10 tells us this. It tells us that the Lord will come like a thief in the night, and all the elements, everything, will be burned up. It also means that it will be a judgment day, that we will all be in front of Jesus at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And we will answer for everything we did in this world, whether it was good or whether it was bad. But we will answer for everything we did. But it doesn't only apply bad things. It also implies something more beautiful than that. Something that we're all waiting for. And that is eternal life. That is the opportunity to live with God in heaven. I want you to go with me to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, verse 31. Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 25, and verse 31. And he says right there, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit in the throne of his glory. And then I want you to go with verse 34, right there in the same chapter where we're at. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come those on his right hand, come you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This place was prepared for us even before this world was here. This is beautiful. This is truly amazing. But I had to be ready to be in that place. That's the reason why we're in this world, to prepare ourselves, to understand what is it that God wants from us. The problem is that sometimes we're too attached to this world that we don't want to follow God. Sometimes we think that he's asking way too much from us when he's really not. He's just asking us to obey him, to follow him every single step of the way, to be good Christians, to understand everything that he tells us. And sometimes it's very difficult for us to do that. Many people out there, many denominations out there, are teaching the fact that this world is not going to end. They're telling people that this world will be here forever. And that we will be here too. When the Bible tells us that's not true, the problem goes back again. They're too attached to this world. They really are. They don't want to leave the stuff behind. They don't. They don't see that there's something more beautiful waiting for us over there. They don't see that God wants to have us with him. They don't see this. And sometimes we fall in the same category. Sometimes we do the same thing. Sometimes it's time to go to church. It's time to go to the service. And we don't do it because maybe, I don't know, the Cowboys are playing that day. And that's going to be a really good game. I don't feel like going that day. That's not something that's going to work with God. That's not something that we're going to be able to tell him when we're in front of the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 tells us this. When he asks, he tells us, where were you when the church was gathered together? Am I going to be able to tell him, well, it was the playoffs? He's not going to take that from us. He's not. I have met many people that are sick, that have cancer, that are almost dying, and they will never miss a service on Sunday. They know how important it is. They know that our lives depend on that. But we don't. I have a friend at school, and he told me something that is true. Thursday, when we went back to school and the Cowboys played, there were many people on Facebook and different parts of the website saying, "We won. We won. We're going to win the Super Bowl this year. We. But when it comes to church, they don't say we. They say the preacher's not doing a good job. That's why many people are not coming to church. They need to work more at church. They need to improve in this. They need to improve on that. What happened to we? That's something that we need to pay attention. And that's something that we need to fix in ourselves to be ready, to be able to tell, to say, I am ready for Jesus Christ to come. Sometimes we forget this. Sometimes we forget that Jesus Christ is going to be in front of us and he's going to ask us the question, were you doing what I told you to do? And I want you to notice something. He didn't just say, you need to go to service on Sunday. You need to be a good Christian. You need to be a good father. He said, you need to preach the gospel. You need to preach my word everywhere you go. Preaching doesn't mean standing up here and talking about the word of God. Preaching means even when I'm at the store and I see somebody, be able to go up to him and say, hey, do you know what Jesus did for you? Be able to tell that person, I want you to come to church with me. Be able to tell that person, Jesus Christ died for you. Do you know that? Be able to tell that person, there is a way to solve all your problems. You don't have to be alone in this. But sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we really don't. And that's more important than anything. Are we going to be able to tell Jesus Christ once we're in front of him and tell him, I was a good father, not only because I provide food to my family, not only because I provide clothes to my family, not only because I provide a house to them, but because every day we study the Bible together. Or I taught my children how to pray. I told my children that every single time they have a problem to pray, to go to you. Are we going to be able to tell Jesus Christ that? To pray to God? Maybe not. And this is something that we have to fix in ourselves. Another thing that we need to do is we need to study the Bible more. Every day. The reason why is because there's many false doctrine out there. And many people are falling for it. And sometimes we have the truth, and we know the truth, but we don't tell the people the truth. We keep it to ourselves. And that is a problem too. Like I said before, there's many people teaching out there that this world's it's always going to be here. And if you ask them, why do you say that? They will take you to Ecclesiastes. I want you to go with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 verse 4. Notice what it says right there. One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. And they will tell you, it says right there, this world is going to be here for, it's going to be here forever. And this is when I need to be able to tell them that's not true. That's not what it's talking about. You're getting this verse out of context. Nowhere in Ecclesiastes is talking about the end of the world or the world will be here forever. It's not teaching none of that. And then you'll take him to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, and ask him, read that verse, where he says that this world would be burned up. And then ask them the question, how do you explain that? And most likely the answer you're going to get, well, I haven't really studied the subject very much. Give me some time. Because they don't know how to answer it. Another false doctrine that they're teaching out there is the fact that Jesus Christ will come, but nobody's going to see him. He's only going to take the people that follow him, and the rest of the people are not going to notice that he came. My question to those people is, what is in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, it says that every single eye will see him when he comes. How do they explain that? How can they explain that? Well, how can we explain this? The only way we can explain all this is if we study the Bible. If we start preaching the truth. If we start explaining people what the truth is, what the Bible says. That's the only way we're going to be able to do it. But we need to start today. Not tomorrow. This is another problem sometimes. That we know Jesus Christ will come, but we always think that he will come when we're not alive. We think that he will come 20 years from now, 50 years from now, 100 years from now, when we don't know that. And we always leave things for tomorrow. And we'll say, tomorrow we'll do this. Or we'll go to church next Sunday. We'll go to Bible class next Wednesday. Not this Wednesday, we're busy. And we always think that Jesus Christ is not going to come today. He's not coming today. That's what's on our minds most of the time. We don't know that. As a matter of fact, we can be in service right now, and once we go out there, what if Jesus Christ comes today? Am I going to be able to live with him? Or am I going to be able to tell him, Jesus Christ, can you come tomorrow? Because I'm not ready today. What am I going to do? The apostles all said that Jesus Christ will come. Like we said, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. He said, the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Apostle Paul said the same thing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. He tells them, the time and the day, nobody knows. But you all know that the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And you have to be ready. You have to be able to say, Lord, I am ready. I am more than prepared to live with you today. Let's not get attached to this world. Let's not keep on making the same mistake over and over again. Let's not do that. Even Revelation chapter 21, verse 33 tells us that the sun and the moon will not be here anymore. We don't need that to illuminate ourselves. It says that once we are in heaven, the glory of God will illuminate us. That's all we need, God. And we need to understand that. Once we understand that we have to be ready to receive God, once we understand that our time in this world is temporarily, we're not going to be here forever. The third question that has to pop in our question is, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And that's when we talk about the plan of salvation. And believe me when I tell you that there's many people out there that are going to make fun of you. When you're trying to explain them the plan of salvation. When you're trying to tell them first you have to hear the word. Then you have to believe the word. You have to repent from your sins. You have to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. and you have to be baptized. And they're going to make fun of you. They're going to tell you, there comes the people with the 5 points. The 5 steps for salvation. There they come. Here they are. Well, let me tell you, they're not making fun of you. And they're not making fun of me. They're making fun of God. Because he's the one that told us what to do to be saved. Don't be ashamed of that. If you know the plan of salvation, let it know to the people. Let the people know what's the plan of salvation. Let them know that it's necessary to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let them know that it's necessary to get baptized, to be part of this church. Apostle Peter said it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. You need to repent from your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins. He repeated it one over and over and over again. He never got tired of saying it. And sometimes we do. I was seeing this morning that y'all are studying Acts. That's a beautiful letter. That tells us how active the church was at the beginning. That tells us what the Apostle Paul did. If I'm not mistaken, some said that he traveled over 10,000 miles preaching the gospel. And he never got tired. And he was always waiting for Jesus Christ to come. And I hope that one day I'm going to be able to say the same thing that he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I want you to go with me to those. 2 Timothy chapter 3, chapter 4. In chapter in verse 7, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I want you to go with me to there. And look what it says. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept my faith. Am I going to be able to say the same words? Once I'm ready to leave this world, am I going to be able to say the same words as the Apostle Paul said? I hope the answer is yes. And it's not impossible to say those words. Apostle Paul wasn't a superhuman. What he was a good Christian. That's what he was. He followed the instructions that Jesus Christ gave him step by step. And if we do the same thing, if we follow the instructions that Jesus Christ had given us step by step, we are going to be able to say that. And we are going to be able to say, I am ready for Jesus Christ to come and pick me up. I am ready to leave this world and live the eternal life with him in heaven. That is going to be something beautiful, brethren. So if today you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, if today you're ready to be baptized, to be a Christian, to be part of this beautiful family that we have in front, today is the day. Or if you're already baptized, but you haven't been faithful, because that's another step for salvation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10 tells us that you have to be faithful until the end, till dead. And sometimes we don't understand that verse very good. We think it's being faithful until we're old. And that's not what the Apostle John was talking about. Remember when he was writing Revelation, there was a lot of Christians being killed out there. And he made sure they know they had to be faithful to the point of giving their life for Jesus Christ. That's what he means. Being faithful to the point to give your life for Jesus Christ. We have an amazing opportunity in this country to be Christian and be okay. There's still many people out there in other countries that are being killed for being Christians, and they're not ashamed of it. they're ready to receive God, Jesus Christ. They're ready for Jesus Christ to come. And I'm pretty sure we are too, brother. So if you're already baptized, but you haven't been faithful, today is the day to do so. Don't wait until tomorrow. We don't know if tomorrow will be here. James chapter 4, verse 14 tells us this. The life is like mist. It's here one day, and the next day it's not going to be here anymore. So if you're ready to give your life to Jesus Christ, I invite you to come forward as we sing these invitations.